preach to you tonight. I thought Brother Brim done an excellent job preaching on the auction house last night. And quite a preacher he is, and appreciate his friendship and his inspiration that he's been in our lives. We appreciate him. And then Brother Beavers came this morning with summoned by the King and just preached excellent. And the Lord really helped him and used him in a great way. And then Brother Bruce came behind him preaching on praying through. Praise God. Wasn't it wonderful? Amen. He is my pastor, and I love him dearly. And he is the best pastor in the world. I love him. And he's done a great job at Pleasant Valley and in our lives, helping us. And I appreciate him very, very much. I want to try to preach to you tonight on a subject I've never preached on. And I don't really have nothing fancy, but I do have a burden. And I'd like to try to help you if I can. Out of the book of Proverbs, chapter number 18. The book of Proverbs, chapter number 18. Proverbs, chapter number 18, verse number 22. It's my text. You're going to think I'm preaching to young people only, and I am. But I'm also going to try to work everybody in if I can. And so you just pray for me. Let's go toward an altar together. What do you say? Proverbs 18 and 22. Proverbs 18 and 22. When you have that, say amen. Whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord. I want to preach tonight on it matters who you marry. It matters who you marry. Why don't we raise our hands and ask God to help us tonight. Lord, we love you. We praise you. God, we magnify your name. We glorify you. We lift you up. We give you the honor and the praise. I'm asking you, God, to move on some young person tonight. God, I'm asking you to let the Holy Ghost touch some young person. Lord, somebody that's making a decision, some married couple that has made a decision and needs help in their marriage. I'm praying, God, you'd give me the grace of God that I need to help somebody in this place tonight. We give you the praise and the worship in Jesus' name.
Thank you.
That wasn't working that good. Praise God. I still believe that marriage is between one man and one woman. No matter what the LGBT says, no matter what Ellen DeGeneres says, no matter what Rosie O'Donnell, George Michael, Hollywood, or the White House says, I still believe that marriage is between one man and one woman. Can you say amen? I still believe that marriage is a monogamy, not a bigamy, not polygamy, but a monogamy. That is one man and one woman. Hallelujah. I still believe that marriage is till death do we part. I still believe that marriage is in sickness and in health. I still believe that marriage is for richer or for poor. In good times, in bad times, when the sun shines, when it rains, through thick and thin, it is forever. I still believe that who you marry is the single most important decision you'll ever make after you get saved. Amen. Marriage, it matters who you marry. Now, Proverbs 18 talks about the need for winning a wife. Marriage was God's idea, and having created the world and all its wonders, and having put Adam as the crown of his creation right in the midst of the garden, God said that everything was very good. Then he rested in God's sand, and he saw that Adam was lordly, but Adam was also lonely. And he said, it is not good. Amen. And so when he said it is not good, he meant that man should not be alone. And God said, I'm going to make an help that is meet for him. One by one, the various animals came to Adam. Amen. In order to be named, it was obvious to Adam that each one had his own mate, and that he alone had no companion of his own kind. He had became aware of a need. Then God put him to sleep. He went to sleep in the will of God, and when he awoke, there was Eve. Can somebody say amen? She was the perfect help, meet for him. The woman God created just for Adam, a specific one for a specific man. Amen. God married them and paradise was perfected. Marriage is still God's idea. Can you say amen? And so finding a wife is not the same as finding a woman. Amen. Solomon had no trouble finding women. He had position. He had power. He had good looks and personal charm. His wit and wisdom made him attractive. Amen. And he, a matter of fact, collected 1,000 women some way or another. But it is doubtful that he ever found a real holy, godly wife. Hallelujah. Proverbs 31 said, who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. But she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. Amen. Houses and riches are the inheritance of the fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord. Now there's a few things I want to mention here tonight. I don't want to try to ruffle your feathers. Amen. I don't want to try, amen, to straighten anybody out. Amen. But divorce is rampant in America. Yes, it is. And so while I try not to straighten anyone's marital status out with this sermon, it ain't my objective to prove to you what I believe the Bible clearly and pointedly states concerning the conditions of a holy marriage. It's not my goal to condemn or to condone any existing situation. However, I would like to convince every one of our young people, amen, that Jesus said divorce was not so from the beginning. Oh, hallelujah. That's the words in red. Amen. That's what the man himself said. It was not so from the beginning. And so if you're here tonight and you do know what it is to go through a tragic, a horrible, a marital situation such as divorce, amen, you ought to be screaming amen louder than anybody else so that we can protect somebody else from going through the very same thing. Oh, hallelujah. Edward Gibbons said he gave 5 reasons why Rome failed. Amen. In these 5 reasons, he started with the decay of religion and the fading of faith into a mere form, leaving the people without a guide. That was number 5. The 4th reason was they built gigantic armament and failed to realize that the real enemy was inside the gates of the empire in a moral decay of the people. The 3rd reason that Rome failed was because of a mounting craze for pleasure and the brutalization of sport. Amen. They love pleasure in sports, and that's why they fail. The number 2 reason was a spiraling rise in taxes and extravagant spending. But the number 1 reason that the empire of Rome failed was because of a rapid increase in divorce and the undermining of the sanctity of the home. Hallelujah. And so my goal tonight, amen, is to try to stop it before it ever gets started. My goal tonight is to try, amen, to encourage some young person, amen, to find the right one and to hold on to it. Amen. The statistics say around 50% of marriages end in divorce. 60% of second marriages end in divorce. 73% of third marriages end in divorce. If you got to do it that many times to find out you're incapable, quit trying. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If your parents are happy in their marriage, you're 14% less likely to divorce. People who wait until they're 25 to marry, 24% less likely to divorce. 60% of people who claim Christianity but rarely go to church are divorced. 38% of people who claim Christianity and attend church faithfully and regularly are divorced. Now these are staggering statistics, especially when you and I know that the Bible said God of Israel hateth putting away. Hallelujah. I realize it's not popular. I understand that it's not really what we came to hear. Amen. But there is a rapid increase, and somebody has got to say quit it. Somebody has got to give a warning. Amen. To tell our people there's a better way. The reason these statistics aren't really higher than what there is because of a cohabitation, amen, in our country that is up 900%. Cohabitation, for all of you who do not know, is a simple living together without a marriage vow. Also, open marriage, open relationship, or those who are not committed to faithfulness, but that can come and go as they please, is the reason these statistics are not worse than what they are. Amen. I want to preach to you and tell you tonight, it was wrong in the beginning. It's still wrong today. Amen. Let me give you the top three reasons for divorce. How many knows the number one reason for divorce? 57% of all divorces are primarily caused by finance. Can't pay bills. Fuss, fight, and argue. Pressure mounting. No money. Finances is number one. How many knows what the number two primary cause of divorce is? It's Facebook. Amen. The number two primary cause for divorce is Facebook. And so if you hear a preacher man get up, amen, and name the statistics on the divorce rate because of Facebook, and he's preaching against it, and he won't let you on his platform, and he won't preach you behind his pulpit, he's got a good reason. Amen. It's because, Brother Drew Monofoe, it's causing havoc. Amen. And it's destroying the church. Amen. That's why. Amen. Because it is undermining the sanctity of the home. Hallelujah. I said it is undermining the sanctity of the home. Amen. And can I tell you, sir? Can I tell you, ma'am? If you do have Facebook, you have increased your chance of divorce. And once you've increased your chance of divorce, you have jeopardized the solidarity of the church of the living God. And when you have jeopardized that, you are calling God in question. Amen. Therefore, that's why we preach. It is a sin. Amen. Oh, I felt good to say that. Hey, the third reason, and it's only 17% of all divorces, primary reason, adultery. Hallelujah. Amen. Divorce is rampant. Amen. But not only is divorce rampant, but dating is romance. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. There's some questions you got to ask yourself. Amen. When you're dating or finding a companion, what kind of questions? I want to give you two good questions to ask yourself. The number one question is, am I consumed by lust? Hallelujah. Oh, come on now. Am I consumed by lust? Am I fussing? Is my fussing casual with the one I'm talking to? Is fighting common with the one I'm talking to? Is fornication careless with the one I'm talking to? If it is, you are more than likely consumed by your lust. Oh, hallelujah. If you're always arguing, always disagreeing, always fault finding, oh, but she looks good. Hallelujah. Who cares what she looks like if she's a devil? Who cares what he looks like if he's a fornicator? Amen. Come on here. Amen. I'm telling you, you got to ask yourself, am I consumed by my lust? Help me, Holy Ghost. Not only am I consumed by my lust, but then you got to ask yourself, am I compatibly in love? Do I have respect for my companion? Oh yeah. Do I respect him or her? Do I respect their position and their status in God? Do I respect their parents? Do I respect the pastor? Oh, do I respect authority? Do you respect your companion? Is your relationship consecrated? Oh, come on now. Amen. Not only do you respect your companion, amen, but is your relationship consecrated? Amen. To that one and to that one only. Oh, come on here. Or have you got 15 numbers in your phone that neither one of the 14 others knows about? Oh, come on here. Amen. We got a word from that where I came from. I think you know it. Hallelujah. Respect for my companion. A relationship that's consecrated. But there must be righteousness that is consistent in that relationship. Oh, so you need to ask yourself tonight, are you consumed by lust? Or are you compatibly in love? Is your relationship mutual? Is it pleasant? Is it considerate? Oh, hallelujah. I want to preach to you, young person, young man, young girl. Amen. There is one for you. You just got to find them. Oh, hallelujah. And when you find them, God will put his stamp on it. And so, not only are there questions to ask, but there's qualities to apprehend. Number one, they must be holiness. Well, I wish I had a mom and dad that say amen. You can't go to the Jesus only church to get you a woman. Hey, Samson, you can't go down to Timnath, amen, to get you a Philistine. Hallelujah. You can't go to the Baptist or the Methodist or the Lutheran or the Catholic. You can't even go to the lost, the backslid or the worldly. You got to find somebody who is equally yoked, because the Bible said, be not unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? I gotta tell you tonight, amen, you've got to find somebody who's holiness. And when you do, you gotta gauge their mood. Oh yeah. Amen. Are they whiny? Are they insecure? Are they dramatic puke? Are they fake? Are they ditzy? Are they bossy? Boy, I tell you one thing, there ain't nothing I can't stand worse than a bossy, sassy chick. Away with it. Woo! Glory to God. Amen. Are they controlling? Are they dominant? Are they jealous? Oh, you gotta gauge their mood. Hallelujah. But then you gotta gauge their morals. Amen. The morals of a person with good morals is concerned with the principles and rules of right conduct according to the Bible. Hallelujah. And so if you wanna find somebody good to go and talk with and try to make a relationship with, amen, make sure, amen, that they are concerned with the principles and rules of right conduct according to the Word of God. And once you gauge their mood, once you gauge their morals, then you can gauge their modesty. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes, you can. Amen. Do they wear tight clothes? I thought I was going to get past the introduction here, but I'm working on it. Do they wear tight clothes? Amen. I don't know. I don't know where they get them. I don't know where they come up with. I don't know what homo designed them. Amen. Come on here. Amen. But they got this, what they call skinny jeans. Hallelujah. Hey, I would not, amen, give my hand to a boy who wears skinny jeans. Hallelujah. Amen. On the contrary, I'd give him my foot and kick him out. We don't need him. Oh, come on here now. Amen. I don't know. Amen. Who designed it? Amen. For whatever reason. And some ladies feel as if, amen, just because they want to wear a 12, they try to what they call squeeze into it. When they do, amen, they look like a busted can of biscuits with a little dough here and a little dough there. It's just too tight. Amen, you gotta look at the way they dress. Oh, hallelujah. Are they provocative? Are they trying to be seductive? Come on here. Is he effeminate? Does he look like a homo? Does he talk like a homo? Does he act like a homo? If he does, you guessed it, he is a homo. Hallelujah. I say get the right one. I say get the right one. It must be holiness and it must be heartfelt. Let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as the loving hind and pleasant roe, and be thou ravished always with her love. Hey. And so there's three things I'm going on. Your love must be passionate. It's got to be passionate. It's got to be persuasive. They've got to know you love them. And it's got to be permanent. Once you say, I do, it's done. Hallelujah. Oh, come on now. And so once you know you love them, once you know it's God's will. Amen. One man said it like this. I didn't marry the woman I thought I could live with. I married the woman I thought I couldn't live without. Oh, hallelujah. I want you to hear me. Amen. It's got to be heartfelt. And it's got to be Holy Ghost filled. Let me give you a checklist and I'm going on. Amen. Are they saved? Are they holiness? Are they Pentecostal? Are they Trinitarian? Do they have a calling? And do they have a Holy Ghost experience working presently in their life? One of the most important things to look for in the pursuit of the will of God, amen, is do they put God first, and are they filled with the Holy Ghost? Man, then you got to dare to be resolved. Divorce is rampant. Dating is romance. But you, young person, must dare to be resolved. There's a certain kind of eagle. This eagle takes its flight. The female eagle swoops down, grabs a small stick. She flies, Brother Russell, to 10,000 feet. The male follows her. The one that he wants, he follows her up. She drops the twig. He swoops down, catches it. They fly. together to the ground. She picks up another stick, a little larger. Once she gets down, flies as high as she can, drops it. He is to swoop down and catch it. Amen. Goes on several times, Brother Rob. Amen. Until at the end, she'll get down and get a rather large log, big log, and grab it with her talons and fly. She can't go but at 400 or 500 feet because it's so heavy. But when she goes as far as she can, she drops it, and he must catch that log because she knows the log that I just got weighs as much as I do. Amen. And I've got to know, amen, if I somehow, amen, fall, get wounded and fall, I've got to know, can he catch me before I hit the ground? Oh, hallelujah. Amen. You got to be resolved. Amen. Once they find out he can't hold her up, they'll go as high as they can, lock their talons. Amen. And those eagles will twirl in the air as they fall through the blue. Amen. And as they fall, they scream with everything in them. And before they hit the ground, amen, they part their ways. Then they nest together for the rest of their life. Oh, hallelujah. I say that somebody in this house tonight can pray it all the way through. I said somebody in the house tonight can pray your companion all the way through. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to go to the Genesis account and look at a marriage that was made in heaven. The Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. He said, I'm going to make him a help meet for him. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air. He brought him to Adam to see what he would call them. Whatsoever called every, Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. Adam gave names. And then the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. Oh, come on now. And he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of the man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife. They shall be one flesh. And so marriage did not evolve. It's not a social convenience. It's not something that men decide to do. Marriage is the basic fundamental plan of God. Amen. The home was established before the school. The home was established before the church. The home was established before the government. God built marriage. God performed the first marriage in the Garden of Eden. And so let me give you a few reasons why God gave Eve to Adam. And why God said we can have the person we are supposed to have. Number one, because of companionship. It's not good that man should be alone. Adam needed someone to share his life with, because it has been said, when you share sorrow, it's cut in half. But when you share joy, it's doubled. Hallelujah. You must have companionship. But then it must be a completion. I will make an help meet for him. I know you've probably heard somebody say, help meet. And what they're trying to say is help mate. Amen. But in the Bible, when he says, and help meet for him, it means an help that is suitable for man. Hallelujah. Amen. In other words, if you'll go to the New Testament, you can find the same word. He said, a vessel unto honor, meet for the master. Same word. Amen. Same concept. Amen. You don't say, a vessel unto honor meet. You don't say that. And so In Genesis account, it's not help meet. It's an help meet or suitable for him. So I had to make that point to tell you this. God took Eve from the man. Therefore, she was part of him and he would be incomplete without her. Can you say amen to that? Oh, hallelujah. She was not created from the ground. Amen. Because God did not want her to have a sense of independence. He didn't want her to think she was her own creation. Oh, praise his holy name. She is not independent of man. And so if you found you a woman who thinks she's a career woman, if you found you a woman who thinks she is smarter than you, if you found you a woman, amen, who thinks, amen, she knows more or is higher than you, just remind her, amen, she was not created from the ground. She came from you. Oh, hallelujah. Hey, not independent. God wanted man to feel like he couldn't live without her. And he wanted woman to feel like she belonged with him. And that they both would feel like they were part of each other. A completion. Not only completion, but communication. So that they could tell one another how they feel. God bless my wife. I love her and I am a partaker of what is known as prevenient grace. I didn't know what holiness was. I didn't know what preaching was. Amen. But my wife, somehow or another, when we got together, was a backslid holiness girl. Amen. We got married and still wasn't saved. Somehow we got saved. God called me to preach. Here I am tonight. I didn't have anything to do with it. It was God's will, God's design. I just walked into it. It was prevenient grace. Amen. I understand that. Amen. But hear me now. Amen. Since that time, amen, that poor lady has had to hear some of the sorriest excuses for a man that I could be. Amen. But you hear me. I had to have it. Oh, yes, I did. And there's been times, amen, that I had to stand strong. Hold her close and say it's gonna be alright. Hallelujah. I want you to know, amen, that God Almighty put us together so we could tell one another how we feel. Amen. He didn't take woman from Adam's feet. He didn't want her to be under him. He didn't take woman from Adam's head. He didn't want the woman to be over him. But God took her from his side so she could be there as his help. God used a rib because it was the closest thing to Adam's heart. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. A communication and a continuation. He said to be fruitful and multiply. And once you got that, the first thing you got to do is you got to get concerned with God's will for you. It's got to be specified. God's got a will of God for you. Amen. A specific one for you. And you're here tonight and you've been praying about that. And you've been asking God, speak to me and help me. Oh, I feel a Lord. Concerned with the will of God specified, consistent with the word of God and sanctified, controlled by your walk with God and satisfied. Once you get her, it's yours. John Blanchard stood up from the bench, straightened his army uniform, studied the crowd of people making their way through Grand Central Station. He looked for the girl whose heart he knew, but whose face he didn't. His interest in her had started 13 months before in a Florida library. He took a book off the shelf and found himself intrigued, not with the book, but with the notes penciled in the margin. The soft handwriting reflected a thoughtful soul and an insightful mind. In the front of the book, he discovered the previous owner's name. Her name was Miss Hollis Maynell. With time and effort, he located her address. She lived in New York City. He wrote her a letter introducing himself and inviting her to correspond. correspond. The next day, he was shipped overseas for service in World War II. During the next 13 months, these two grew to know each other through the mail. Each letter was a seed falling on fertile hearts. A romance was beginning to bud. Blanchard requested a photo. She refused and would not send it. She felt that if he really cared for her, it wouldn't matter what she looked like. And when the day finally came for him to return from Europe, they scheduled their first meeting at 7 o'clock, Grand Central Station in New York City. She said this, "You'll recognize me by the red rose I'll be wearing on my lapel." So at 7 o'clock, he was in the station looking for a girl whose heart he loved, but whose face he had never seen. A young woman was coming toward him. Her figure was long and slim. Her blonde hair lay back in curls from her delicate ears. Her eyes were as blue as the sky. Her lips and chin had a gentle firmness, and in her pale green suit, she was like springtime come alive. He started toward her, entirely forgetting to notice that she was not wearing the rose. As he moved, a small, provocative smile curved her lips. She said, "You going my way, sailor?" Almost uncontrollably, he made one step closer to her, and then he saw Miss Hollis Maynell. She was standing almost directly behind the girl in the green suit. She was a woman well past 40. She had graying hair that was tucked under a worn-out hat. She was just a little bit plump, and her thick-ankled feet thrust into low-heeled shoes. The girl in the green suit was walking quickly away. He felt as though he were being split in two. So keen was his desire to follow the girl, but so deep was his longing for the woman whose spirit had truly companioned and upheld his own while he was at war. There she stood. Her pale face was gentle and sensible. Her gray eyes had a warm, kindly twinkle. He never hesitated. His fingers gripped the small, worn blue leather book that was to identify them. He knew it wouldn't be love, but it could be something precious, something perhaps even better than love, a friendship for which he had been and must ever be grateful for. So he squared his shoulders and saluted, held out the book to the woman, even though while he spoke, he felt choked by the bitterness of disappointment. He said, "I'm Lieutenant John Blanchard, and you must be Miss Maynell. I'm so glad you could meet me. May I take you to dinner?" The woman's face broadened into a tolerant smile. She said, "I don't know what this is about, son, but that young lady in that green suit who just went by begged me to wear this rose on my coat. And she said if you was to ask me out to dinner, I should go and tell you that she's waiting for you in the big restaurant across the street. She said it was some kind of test. Miss Hollis Maynell just wanted to make sure that Lieutenant John Blanchard loved her for who she was, and not just what she looked like." Oh, hallelujah. Hey. I want to tell you right here tonight, amen, God's got somebody for you. I said God's got somebody for you. And it is the will of God. And it will work out. And it will be all right. Amen. It was a marriage made in heaven. But then it was a marriage that was marred by hell. And I want to preach to you just for a few minutes. I got time. "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" It wasn't long after God created this perfect union that the old serpent came trying to separate and destroy. You hear me now? Hear me good? There ain't a preacher in this building. There ain't a person in this building that the devil, that's married, that the devil ain't come and tried his best to taint. Is anybody going to say amen? That is true. That's his job. Amen. The first time we see the devil in the scripture, he's trying to thwart. He's trying to taint God's perfect plan, and he always started with the home. That's what he starts with, the union and unity of the home. My point is this. It's essential that you find somebody that will stand by your side when Satan attacks. Help me right here, Lord. Amen. My beautiful wife and I travel some. Amen. Maybe not as much as others. But as we endeavor to accomplish God's work, amen, there has been something we've noticed. It's been disturbing, and it's an increasing trend among holiness people, amen, that have smiling faces on the outside, but they got shaky homes on the inside, amen, come on now, and there are even some young people struggling to even find a companion because of the strife that they endure at home. Help me right here, Lord, amen, there are times, amen, in our lives, Brother Bruce even preached about it this morning, family devotions. We have had them. Yes, we have. Amen. Yes, we have. And you will have. Amen. But you hear me right here tonight. You gotta find somebody that can make it through the devotion. You gotta find somebody who can make it through the attack. You gotta find somebody who will stay with it. Oh, hallelujah. I'm gonna preach to you about a few. I want to preach to you about the divorce that's been among us. I want to preach to you about some of those, amen, that have been among us that have went out and tonight they're divorced. Amen. What about the one man, amen, that I know and love? Amen. He said he would never do what he used to do. He went out thinking he could. And now tonight, him and his wife are divorced. His children, amen, on the verge. Amen. Of going out and doing things that we preach against. Amen. Yes, they are. Now the home is split. Amen. There's heartache, there's pain. Yes, there are. Amen. There's pictures. Amen. On websites. Amen. Because of this divorce. And when people look, amen, they see that there's a marriage that's been marred by hell. Amen. What about the young man whose wife, amen, went through high school, lived holy and pure, saved herself for him. Amen. Went through a tragic church split, and out of that church split, she walked off. You could see her in that college town. Amen. With tight spandex pants, running up and down, trying to lose weight, trying to find some of them college boys. Amen. That poor fellow, amen, trying to go to church, dealing with the agony of pain. Amen. Thought he had one he could go through thick and thin, but for whatever reason, they couldn't take the attack of the enemy. Amen. What about the one, amen, that I know, amen, who married that girl, and that girl had some wild idea, and she ran off, amen, going to football games, running with other men. Amen. What I'm trying to preach to you is we're not exempt. Amen. And I've got to tell you, amen, that is very important that you find somebody you can go through thick and thin with. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. What about, amen, those marriages that are under the sound of my voice tonight? Amen. And you're having a little spat. Amen. And there's a little bit of controversy in your home. Amen. And the devil's attacked your home. Oh, hallelujah. I realize I'm trying to reach the young people. But what about some that have married? What about some that's recently been married? Amen. And the enemy came. Amen. You got to learn to deal with it. I said you got to learn to deal with it. And the only way you can, amen, the only way that me and her has ever learned, amen, is to lock hands. Hey, come on now. Is to lock our hands together and realize, amen, that yes, the enemy may be coming. And yes, the enemy may be attacking. Amen. But we're going to stay together. I said we're going to stay together. Oh, hallelujah. I want to preach to you and tell you, you got to find somebody who will stand by your side. I said you got to find somebody who will stay with you.
What about the divorced? But what about the undivorced? What about those who married some man who's full of himself arrogant, proud, boastful, and thinks more of himself than he does of God, and makes his wife miserable. Woo! What if you get that one? It matters who you marry. I wish I could find a mom and daddy to say amen. It matters. What if you get that one of my brothers, a man who's bossy and sassy and lazy and wants you to do everything? I heard tell of a story. I'm not kin to him, but Elizabeth is. Amen. Where the to God, amen, where she does her thing, he has to wash the clothes and wash the dishes and make the beds and away with that junk. Hallelujah. Come on now. What if you get that one? Amen. I'm trying to tell you is the undivorced are miserable. I know that we warned against those that are divorced. Amen. But what about those, amen, that are undivorced? A prominent psychiatrist observed recently that while one out of three marriages do end in divorce, another one out of three is not so much a state of marriage as it is simply being undivorced. They love and communication's gone. The couple remains together because of various reasons. Social pressure, children, finances may keep them together. Nowhere else to go or whatever the reason may be. And tragically, the home degenerates into a battlefield. Individual rights. Amen. Sometimes it's noisy. Sometimes it's silent. How many men hate the silent treatment? Hallelujah. Hey, come on now. If you do that, woman, you're obeying the devil. Hallelujah. Amen. God created you for communication. Amen. Not for you to whine and get your way. For you to sulk and pout. Amen. And act like a fool to get your way. I don't know where that came from, but it felt good. Hallelujah. Amen. A battlefield. Silent treatment. It's always tense. The home becomes merely a place where an assortment of human beings happen to eat, sleep, and live together. And the home becomes a house. And the children's marriages are often chaotic as their parents is. Amen. What about it? Amen. My God in heaven. Oh, what about that young girl? Amen. That we know. Amen. Married that boy, thought everything was good. Amen. But now, amen, he's so full of himself. He won't come to church. Amen. He won't fellowship with the church. He runs and rips and drinks. Oh, he works. Amen. But that poor girl's miserable. I said she's miserable. She don't really care about the money. She don't really care about a nice car. She don't care about a double wide trailer. She's satisfied with her single wide. She just wants her husband to come to church. Oh, hallelujah. And get saved. I'm trying to preach to you tonight. It matters. It matters who you marry. Who can find a virtuous woman? Do you know who said that? That was a prophecy to King Lemuel that his mother gave him. Now, who knows who King Lemuel is? If you'll study, you'll find that King Lemuel is Solomon. And his mother was telling him, who can find a virtuous woman? How many knows that Solomon's mother was Bathsheba? She knew what it was, amen, to go through a horrific, amen, marital experience. Amen, where there was adultery, there was lying, there was murder. She knew what it was. And she knew she was the one that caused it. Hallelujah. Amen. And so I want you to realize who was speaking in this text. I want you to realize who was giving the advice. It was Bathsheba. She knew what it was like to have a marriage marred. She knew what it was like, amen, to have a marriage tainted. Amen. She was warning Solomon. Hey, Solomon. Find you one that's virtuous. Amen. Find you one that's a good one. Find you one that'll stay with you. It simply matters who you marry. It'll benefit you in the long run. I said it's going to make a difference. Amen. 10 years down the road. It's going to make a difference. 20 years down the road. It's going to make a difference in your life. If you find the will of God. Oh, hallelujah. And you got to find it. in this hour. Hey man, I'm done. I want somebody to come to the music. While they're coming, it was a marriage made in heaven. It was a marriage marred by hell. But it was a marriage marked by the Holy. After the devil came and they was cast out of the garden, this is what the Lord said. I'm going to put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So we find that it's a prophecy of the Savior here. And so you've got to understand that from a wound came this woman, and from that woman came sin. Amen. But on Calvary's hill, from a wound came healing. And it produced salvation. Yes, it did. And so he was wounded for our transgressions. Amen. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of his peace, of our peace, was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. Now it's intriguing to realize that it was a woman that was the first at the tomb after the crucifixion. It was a woman that Jesus first reveals himself to. Amen. And that she was the first one to tell anyone that Jesus was alive. Jesus called her name first after the resurrection. Amen. Why was it not Peter? Why was it not John? Amen. Because Jesus, the second Adam, he knew. Amen. That she up earlier, and he wanted to redeem her. He wanted to give her a chance. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Because he knew, amen, he can make a way when it didn't look like there was no way. Amen. Somehow or another, amen, God intervened. He pulled them out of the garden and he started working with them. And they had a son. His name was Seth. And Seth had a son. His name was Enos. Amen. And Enos had a son on down the line until they came to the very Son of God. Oh, hallelujah. I got to tell somebody tonight, amen, it matters who you marry. Amen. Where's Jeremiah Sharp at? They're getting ready to get my stuff here, and I'm done. There is a goal, and you got to reach it. But the truth is, you can't. Jeremiah, who is in the house? Yeah, get him. Where's old Jeremiah? There he is. Stand over here, my brother Lathan there, Jeremiah. Thank you, Daddy. Come over here. Listen to me. Hold this. Oh, I need you to make that in that goal from here. How many knows he can't? It's impossible. Matter of fact, Brother Russell, strong to do it, but the chances of you making this in there is going to be slim. Now, you can't even throw it that far. But Brother Woody, that's what happens. Amen. The world hands you bad resources, and it gives you an impossible shot, and you've only got one chance. Amen. That's what really happens. Amen. And that's what the devil knows. He's trying to give you bad resources. Amen. And give you a long shot. And give you an impossibility of making the goal. Hallelujah. Brother Woody, go ahead. Leave my man right here for me. Amen. Go ahead and get that other one and come down the aisle with it if you would. Amen. God, amen, sometimes sees what's really going on. Amen. And when he does, you got to get office over there to the side. It's right behind that desk. Amen. The world gives you bad resources and tells you, yes, I want you to make this. You only got one shot. Amen. And if you don't make it, you lose. Oh, God help me. I said, if you don't make it, you lose. Hallelujah. Can you hear me? Person, if you don't make it, you lose. Hallelujah. You got find the right one. You've got to find the perfect one. And when God looks down and he sees what the world handed you, amen, he says, this is what God does. He goes against good resources, brand new resources. Amen. Resources. I've never bounced that ball. Amen. I ain't never used that ball. It's brand new. It ain't used up. I said it's brand new. This one's used up. It's flat. My God, I don't want somebody like that, do you? Amen. I want somebody that's brand new. I want somebody that ain't never been used. And what is he? Good resources. Then he takes you in his hands. Amen. And he carries you to where the goal is. Oh, hallelujah. Because he realizes you can't do it on your own. But if you let God do it for you, I promise you, you can make the goal. I said you can make the goal. Oh, hallelujah. I want to preach. Tell somebody tonight, amen, it matters. I said it matters who you marry. Amen. I said it matters. Hang on a minute. Can I get it one more? We're going to have an altar service. God wants to help some young people. But there's some marriages here tonight. You know you need help. Sister Chris, I'm going to ask you to do something I know you don't want to do. Take your daddy by the hand and go hold Brother Bruce's hand, if you would. If I got everything right, Sister Brim, come up here and hold Brother Brim's hand. Amen. Sister Ann, if you would, come hold Brother Noah's hand. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Is Brother Phillips here yet? Is Brother Phillips here yet? Bring him and Sister Trula May. Come on, grab her by the hand. Grab her by the hand. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hey. Oh, yeah, let me get over here. Notes. Look over here now. Amen, Brother Tim Brim. The best I can recollect, he's been married for 23 years. He met this young lady somewhere in their younger life. They didn't see one another for quite some time, but then they met again in college. Amen, and Brother Brim had to fight another boy off, but he won. Hallelujah. Come on now. And they've been married for 23 years. They've got a wonderful marriage. Amen, I promise you, if you ever around them, if you ever with them, I preached revivals 4 weeks at a time for this man. Amen. We've had glorious revivals, but I've watched him and his wife. They love one another. They cherish one another. And he found the right one. And now he's a minister. He's a pastor. He's a camp meeting speaker. Amen. Because God, amen, picked him up and helped him make the goal. Help me, Lord. Amen, Brother Bruce Johnson. Best I can tell from all resources. Amen. 27, is that what you said? 26? 26 years. Been married. I've heard his story at least 50 times in the past. Years, hallelujah. But he met this young lady, amen, and he loved her with all of his heart, and he done whatever he had to do, amen, to talk with her, and he sweet talked Brother Hayes, and somehow talked him out of his daughter, and they got married, and now he not only has evangelized, pastored, amen, but he's a camp meeting preacher, amen, and God's moving in his ministry, God's moving in his home, God's moving in his children's lives, amen, God's moving in his family. He found the right one, and he made the goal. Brother Noah Phillips, he'd been married, the best I can tell, 30 years, amen, what a union it has been, amen, I realize, amen, that sometimes, I don't want to embarrass you. Remember, when you have to go through what you're going through now, you got to know you got the right one. Amen. To keep you and help you. Oh, hallelujah. And to be by your side. And now he's got a church. He's a camp meeting speaker. And God has helped him. Amen. To make the goal. Can somebody say amen? Hallelujah. And then there's Brother William Hayes. Come here, Brother Hayes. Amen. Brother Hayes was married for 57 years. Him and Sister Hayes, amen, preached the gospel for years. Amen. She came down. And to her dying breath. Amen. And Brother Hayes, this great man of God that I'm standing by tonight, looked down at his wife. You know what he said? He said, honey, he said, now listen, we made our vows. We kept them. We've been faithful and we don't have anything to be ashamed of. Oh, hey, hallelujah. I tell you what happened. He made the goal. I said he made the goal. I said he made the goal. And you can too. Sixty-four years. Brother Philip, 64 years. Pula May. Look at this lady right here. I want to tell you what she said. I walked up to them last night. I didn't know I was going to do it. I said, Brother Phillips, how long y'all been married? She said, Brother Phillips said, I think it's about 64, 3 years. She said, oh no, honey, 64. Then you know what she said? She got close. She held my hand. She pulled on me a little bit. She said, Brother Corey, if you want to know the truth, I'd marry him again for another 64 years. They made the goal. Oh, yes. Hey, man, I know I preached about some that's divorced, some undivorced, but there's some that's married. And they're happily married. Can you say amen? Hey, man, you're here tonight. You're a young person. You're a young person. Amen. And you're here in this house. And you're looking for the right one. You're looking for that unused one. You're looking for that brand new one. I want to tell you, you can find God's will. I said, Kepetosaka. You can find the will of God. Amen. You're here tonight. Amen. And you're in a marriage. Amen. But you know in your heart, I need to be at that altar. And I need God to help me. I need God to touch me and my wife. I need God to touch my children. I need God to touch my home. We're getting ready to have an altar service. Thank you, sister and brother Phillips. Ready to have an altar service. Amen. And if you're here and you're looking for a spouse, I want you to fill these altars while I talk to those behind you. If you're here and you're needing God's will, if you're here and you're looking, amen, for God to confirm His word, if you're looking for God to confirm the will of the Lord, amen, I want you to stand on this altar. I know I ain't preached to this one. Hallelujah. Amen. If you're here and you're single and you need a companion, God's got one for you. Won't you come? Hallelujah. Amen. And while they're coming, I want to preach to those who've just been recently married. And you say, preacher man, I'm coming to that altar. I need help tonight. I need help in my life. I need a move of God in my life. I need the touch of heaven in my life. Hallelujah. I need moving of the Spirit of God in my life, in my home, in my marriage, for my spouse. I want you to move out. You need help in your marriage. Hallelujah. You need help in your marriage. Come on, come on, come on. Oh, I know it's a tough one. I know it's a tough one. Here comes one. Amen, but there's one more. I'm looking for you. Hallelujah. You're here and you say, preacher man, we gotta pray about it. We want the Lord to help us. We want the Lord to move for us. We want God to help our home. We want God to strengthen our home. You're here. I want you to move right now. Right now. Grab your wife by the hand. Amen. Amen. Grab your wife by the hand. There's pastors. Amen. That's coming. That's right. Come on. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Amen. I feel the Lord wanting to help us in this altar service. I feel the Lord wanting to move in this altar service. Come on, come on, come on. Amen. Let God move. Let God help you. Amen. Let the Spirit of the Lord touch you. Amen. Your marriage, your home, your children. Amen. It may be shaky. It may be tense. Whatever it may be, you need help from God. They're getting ready to play and sing. Hey. I've stood right there in this meeting and receive help I came for. And I feel like that you came looking for God to move for you. They're getting ready to play and sing. Somebody come and pray. I want everybody that would come and gather around somebody. Stand around somebody and pray earnestly. There are homes in the balance tonight. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. I'm praying about this. I'm seeking God about this. You need prayer for your home, but you just didn't want to step out. Grab your husband, grab your wife. Amen. Come to this altar. I need a move of God. I need the Lord to work things out for me. I need God to touch me. I need God to help me. Oh, come on, come on, come on. Amen. The pastors getting with their church people. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh God, do the work. Oh God, do the work. Hey, go ahead, go ahead. Amen. The Holy Ghost is here. I said the Holy Ghost is here. Hallelujah.